that'll be the Maisonettes then, and Heartache Avenue, because they couldn't afford the full house, so they just bought the Maisonette. Now, the Dragon Project is teaching practical skills through creativity to, well, we're about to discover who it's teaching it to, the Eccleston George Collective. What a strange name that is, and why did it come about as such? We're about to discover from Nigel George. Sounds to me as if Eccleston George, Nigel George, might have something to do with it. You never know. He's the team leader and founder of it all, and what do they do? And what's that got to do with Gav Hodson, who's a special education needs teacher at St Francis School in Fareham? You see, it's a mystery out there, isn't it, really? Thank goodness we've got Nigel to explain something and Gav to tell us just why he's involved. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Nigel, from the Isle of Wight. Hmm. I daren't ask, what are you doing here on the mainland on a Sunday, because that's, I'd be on the Isle of Wight. It's quieter over there, isn't it?
It isn't. It's a lovely place to live. Yeah, it is, yeah.
So the Eccleston George Project, what's that exactly?
Well, we're just, to be honest with you, I don't know really what we are. We call ourselves public artists, but, that's only because we need to have a name to hang our particular hat on. We're just a group of creative people, really, that work together in all sorts of different venues and places, and one of those happens to be education projects in schools.
Right. And this Dragon Project does what in particular?
Dragon is a brand new kind of education project that is based in a special needs school on the Isle of Wight, and it was born out of a creative partnership project, which is an organisation that belonged to the Arts Council of England. And we originally were commissioned to go in and work with the children on a creative learning project. When the funding dried up for that, we decided that that project was so important that we had to find another way to keep going.
Oh.
And so we got together with the school, and we have created there a learning facility. And when I say we, I mean we, that's Eccleston George, the staff at the school, and the students as well, have created a learning facility that is now open to other schools to use as a learning facility, not just special needs schools, but mainstream schools as well.
And St George's is obviously named after you, then.
Yes.
I can see now, I'm getting it. You see, that's what's confusing me, totally. I can see that. So you're working with a special school, and this special school is now funding its project itself.
We get no help at all from the government or local authority or anything with Dragon. It's completely funded by itself. We do, when schools visit, they pay to visit. It's an outdoor grounds learning sort of facility. But it really exists through, going for grant initiatives and things like that. And we obviously subsidise our own time there and that kind of stuff.
So there's artists working with the young people who are physically and mentally challenged in all sorts of different ways, because it's a special school.
Yeah.
And you've been working with them for how long now?
5 years.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just extraordinary what they have done.
Yeah.
I mean, there are five zones and then two other sort of growing areas, really. But, we've got a woodland zone, we've got a full-size dinosaur dig that they have built. Mm-hmm. There's a Mediterranean zone, there's a sensory area, a woodland zone, and they're all usable, and kids can go there and learn curriculum subjects.
Sounds
and
like
when that happens, this is the amazing thing, the students from that special needs school, from St George's, are able to run those sessions. So you've got special needs students teaching mainstream students.
Really? Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. Now, Gav, you were so impressed with this because you're in special education needs, because you're a teacher at St Francis School in Fareham, similar kind of place as St George's, I should imagine. You were so impressed, you want to do it there as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, our school, St Francis, is very similar to St George's, and then I knew about Dragon over the years and how it's developing, and I could see our school, how we could actually not replicate it, because you wouldn't want to do that, but how we could start to work with St George's, with the staff, with Eccleston George and the children, and start actually the same processes ourselves. So we only started actually working together last month, and we've now already starting to create our own sort of outdoor zone, which the children have been involved in making as well.
Great.
The staff and also volunteer community as well. So we're starting now to develop a real linked up community sort of build now for us, which everybody's involved with.
Right.
Because the way we're going with our project as well is that the fact you can't do things alone anymore.
Mm.
You've got to have
loads of other people all joining in.
So. Yeah, you've got to have that support. Right. So, because we're in our school as well, we're very much you know, we're keen to use. We are a community, you know, with, you know, we use the families a lot, the outside community a lot, and the children are our, they are our core. You know, they're the beauty of our school, aren't they? So, and they are leading the project for us. And,
that's great.
And with Nigel's work and his team as well, you know, we've starting to, you know, to bring together, you know, all the skills and bring out new skills that the children have got.
And most of this is about building environments outdoors then, so that and that's what it's about.
Yeah, it is, but also as well we're bringing the skills into the classroom as well. So, and primarily as well, not just actually the structural skills, but the learning skills as well. We as teachers can learn from Nigel and his team, and then because we see the it's nice in a way to see the children work with other adults, because you know sometimes in education you can think you're doing all the right things yourself, but we're not, because we know there's different things that the children respond to, especially in our field.
Right,
and it's good to see other professionals work with our children,
all doing their bit in peace.
But yeah, and then we then can also think, hang on a minute, we've seen a child react to that way of teaching, so we can then start to use it. So we learn, you know, from those places as well. And
so it starts on the Isle of Wight then, Nigel, and then Gav's picking it up at St Francis School in Fareham. This sounds as if it's going to go pangalactic.
I don't know. There's never been a master plan for this project at all. In fact, you know, as far as the Eccleston George Group concerned, we had, you know, we, it wasn't our goal to get into education at all. We just stumbled into it. In fact, everything we do, we stumble into, really. But what's clear is that we've kind of hit a raw nerve or something at a time when education seems to be a bit wobbly, and teaching this way or learning this way, not just for kids with special needs, but mainstream as well, seems to open up all sorts of possibilities. And it's actually relatively easy then, if you can find little pockets of money, it's relatively easy to win people over with this idea that you can go outside, still teach curriculum subjects, but in a creative way, because you're still, we do maths every day, but we never talk about
but
maths.
Doing it in a different, it's kind of education by accident almost.
The point is, it's in context. It's in context with something that they will actually get their hands on and make.
Right.
And at the end of it, they can see where all that maths, that history, geography, whatever it is, where it is, because it's manifest in something real.
Right. Gives everyone a great amount of confidence as well, the youngsters particularly when they're working with the other children from other schools, I bet.
And fun.
Yes.
Actually, you've got to enjoy your work in life, you know, for we all do, don't we?
Yeah.
And if you provide that environment for the children as well, you know, you're one step ahead you start.
Well, thank you very much for explaining that then. You've also come in to take a look at the newspapers for us this morning, which is very good of you. Nigel, you've picked up a first story, which is all to do with owl shortages in India. What that's got to do with us and the rest of the planet, I'm not sure, but you're about to explain.
Yeah, well, it's a very small story, and it's in, I can't remember which paper it's in now.
Times.
Oh, it's in the Sunday Times, and it was just interesting, really, how our sort of modern culture and interest in films, and particularly Harry Potter, can have an influence on the environment in India, because there is now, because of Harry Potter films, a owl shortage in India, because what's happening is people are taking owls from the wild, because, I mean, I think in the... Don't owls deliver the mail or something in Harry Potter? Well, because of that, people are taking owls and giving them as birthday presents to children.
Oh, right.
And there's now, apparently, you know, a significant...
And the children are obviously selling them off to the Royal Mail, because they're not making the money anymore, and they're delivering... owls are so cheap to employ these days, aren't they?
Really? Are owls any good at delivering,
The mail? Well, obviously very good, because there seems to be a shortage of them in India.
Well, they must be there.
Yes. I mean, it was rather like everyone went out and bought turtles when the turtles were doing their thing, didn't they, really?
Yeah.
And now you can't buy a blue avatar for love nor money down at Tesco's, can you? Just can't get them anywhere. It just need time. But owls, it's weird, isn't it, how it happens like that?
Yeah.
But then they'll all forget about it in a year, two years' time.
Well, let's hope so, because the poor old owls, you know, they're having a tough time.
They are, I can see that. Yes, they would be.
Yeah.
Not as tough as the pedestrians in Oxford Street and Oxford Circus. I was once caught in Oxford Circus myself, but you've discovered, Gav, they're coming up with a two-speed system there now to help people like me who once got trapped there and couldn't move one way or the other.
I know. Well, I love this because it kind of encompasses a lot of things I like. Because I do like shopping, and I like walking, but I hate getting stuck in behind somebody who's walking really slow. And what they're trying to introduce in Oxford Circus is a two-speed pavement where they want to put all the slow people on one side, primarily near the windows, and then the fast walkers on the outside. So if people are rushing around in their lunchtime and they want to get from A to B quickly, they want to try and to funnel everybody out of the way. Kind of takes the fun out of dodging.
Right.
And quite interesting, though. But also, as well, the thing that catches my eye as well, I like the design idea which they want to introduce, is use a diagonal pedestrian crossing in Oxford Circus, which apparently they've used in Japan, which is very successful.
Yeah.
For me, though, it kind of brings up, we were talking about this earlier, kind of brings up lots of connotations, though, really, doesn't it? You know, a case of, you know, do you mind walking behind someone really slow?
Right.
Or not really. Yes. Or all about pushchairs and stuff. And then you've got to think about the fact that, you know,
and do you have just to signal? If you're moving from a slow lane to the fast lane, would you need to signal? Yeah. I'm moving out into the fast lane now.
Yeah. Put your hand up. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
And is the fast lane only really an overtaking lane?
Is it? Like, exactly. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And do you go back in once you
people will start blocking it immediately, won't they? They'll start doing that.
I don't know. Or will it be a fitness lane?
It could be, yeah.
I don't know. What to look out for?
It's one to look out for. The Oxford Circus two-speed system could well be coming your way. The Arts Council have been in the news of late. They've got to take cuts along with everybody else on the planet, apparently, but they've got a collection of art that you feel needs, and a number of other people feel perhaps needs, a bit more looking at.
But potentially, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I need to sort of read more about this, really. But Brian Sewell, probably the poshest man on the planet, has a lot to say about it, and he thinks that that the Arts Council's hoarding of artworks, you know, it's time to let them go. They're going to be something like £100 million down this coming year, this next year, for projects, and potentially that impacts on our work actually, because as I said, Creative Partnership was funded by them, and we know that that's going. And you know, if that's true, if they really do have that kind of money sitting around, and with works of art that no one is ever going to see or has little chance of seeing, you do have to ask the question, well, would they be better placed fulfilling the remit of the Arts Council, which is to help out artists, basically, and to promote art, you know.
Get rid of the art you've got and
well, if it's not being seen by anyone and nobody's getting anything from it, you do wonder, don't you?
Final story from Gav, and that's the immigration gap. That, again, has been in the news this week about how we're going to cap the immigration. But the government have come up with a rather strange system, apparently.
Yeah, they well, this one caught my eye again, actually, because they, with the immigration cap, which they want to, well, they introduced in July, they gave special rights for sportsmen and, quite interestingly, priests, which I thought was quite...
Sportsmen and priests, you're allowed to have them over. Yeah.
So they're OK, but not to scientists. Mm-hmm. So that fundamentally could cause a massive problem for us for the future, academic wise, because we're looking, you know, how do we research, you know, without the skills and knowledge of, you know, overseas scientists.
If we're going to, particularly, funnily enough, this year, 3 Nobel Prizes won in this country, and all of them from people who had immigrated.
Exactly, I think 2
country.
Russians, I think, weren't they, with that special, not the TEF, I forget what it's called now. It's that magical, like, carbon
stuff that's slippier than anything else on the planet.
Yeah, that was a technical name.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, you know, this is going to be, you know, and also it's a bit of a sad reflection in the way that we're giving priority to sports people, you know, and not the actual...
Oh, well, we need footballers here more than anything else, don't we, really? It's a tremendous shortage of them.
I know, but think about a scientific footballer.
Yeah.
All those accurate crosses. We'll get in there, won't we?
Could work a treat, couldn't it? That's the way it is. Well, look, my thanks to Nigel George and Gav Hodson for coming in, explaining a little bit about the projects that they're into, the Dragon Project. It's teaching practical skills through creativity. Seems to be working a treat, and it could well be coming your way soon. Nigel, Gav, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.